We now ask for your attention to our speaker's remarks as he comes forward and speaks on that subject, the ways of Christendom inconsistent with the commandments of Christ. Brother Arthur, please.
Our lecture this afternoon, the ways of Christendom inconsistent with the commandments of Christ, is a lecture by which we wish to show, through the Bible which we have before us, the importance of the believer continuing in all things commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ sent his apostles out to preach the gospel message, the good news of the coming kingdom, he said that they should also teach the hearers that they were to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded. That the obedience of these commands of Christ are essential to the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ said himself on one occasion, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." By this we see that our ultimate acceptance or rejection with the Lord Jesus Christ at his judgment seat will depend upon doing the things that he himself has commanded. Let us then this afternoon for a few moments consider these commandments of the Lord Jesus and also the teaching of the apostles. For the apostles spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit invested in them by the Lord Jesus Christ. As the apostle Paul said to those of the Ecclesia at Corinth, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Nothing could be clearer than that, could it? Yet though these commandments given by the Lord Jesus Christ or the apostles, we find that they have in general been nullified by the traditions and the practices of men, just as the commandments of the law had been nullified by the practices of men. "Ye hypocrites," said the Lord Jesus Christ to the scribes and Pharisees in the days of his ministry, "well did the prophet Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. On another occasion, the Lord Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And John, the beloved apostle, he who lay on Jesus' breast at the of the taking of the bread and of the wine, he too speaks of the keeping of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ in his fifth chapter. Let's turn to the first epistle of John in chapter 5. The first epistle of John in chapter 5 and verse 1. Here John says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Some might say, there are those who take these things so far, they're too narrow. You can't live in an age like we live in, too narrow in the way. Why would they say these things? Is it not because to keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ makes one very unpopular? If you keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be one of the noise of the world. You become unpopular. Yet in his letter to the Ecclesia at Rome, the Apostle Paul warns the believers of being conformed to this world. In that chapter which our president read to us, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we read there. If we turn to chapter 12, the chapter our president read to us, 12th of Romans, and verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word transform, metamorphosis, we have to change. As the caterpillar changed to the butterfly, we have to come from the thinkings of the flesh, as the caterpillar walks among the flesh, to the higher things of God, as the butterfly flies in the heavens. But why was the Apostle Paul so concerned of the believers of the gospel being like those around them? The reason is because the believers are to be a holy, and holy here means a separate. We have to live a separate. We have to be a separate people unto God, not of the world. God is not in the thoughts of the people of the world. You go out there and you preach the gospel, you meet someone and you want to tell them the things of God and the gospel. They don't want to know. They will walk away. They care not for God in any sense. Indeed, are lovers of pleasure, as the Apostle Paul said, more than lovers of God. His sovereign claims, God's sovereign claims, are either rejected by them, or they are treated with entire indifference or laughed at. They do not want to know God. It was the same in the days of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Here we have the words of the Apostle Paul, what it was like in his day. And it is exactly the same in our day, is it not? This know also that in the last days, that was the last days of Judas' commonwealth, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, foul, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, says the Apostle Paul, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And those words that the apostle wrote in his day would fit the day in which we live, would they not? They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Daniel the prophet's indictment upon Belshazzar, the rejected king of Babylon, is chargeable against all those of the world today. The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? They will not bow the knee to thank God for their daily bread. God's great and dreadful and eternal reality is ignored by the world, called upon only when they are in dire circumstances. Let's turn to the epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 1. The epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 1 and verse 18. Yes, again, the Apostle Paul speaking of those of his day, which we could use in our day. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These people knew the truth of the Bible and had turned away from God. If then the world at large is God's enemies, how can the believers, the friends of God, be friends with those of the world? Let's turn to the epistle of John once again, and the first epistle and chapter 2. First epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 15. Here the Apostle John tells us once again, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. James in his letter 2, we won't turn to it, chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. When God chose Israel and brought them out of Egypt, he said that they were to be a holy, a separate people unto himself, that they were to obey his commandments, the commandments that he gave unto them through Moses, so that he might be well with them, and that they might be blessed above all people upon the earth, as they were, when they did keep God's commandments. Israel was blessed in the time of David, in the time of Solomon, above all the nations round them. It was a glorious kingdom. Had Israel continued to obey the word of God, they would not have suffered as they did, as they have, through the ages. They have been persecuted throughout the world wherever they have been. But they would have been a blessed people, a happy and a prosperous people. The word holy, though given an almost mysterious connotation today, simply means separate. Israel was to be separate unto God. They were to be a holy, separate people from the world about them unto God, obeying the laws that God gave them, walking in God's ways. But failure to do so brought divine retribution, as each one of us are aware. Now the same can be said of those who have taken upon themselves the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the waters of baptism. We too are commanded to be a holy or a separate people unto God. Now though like Israel, this command to be separate people is given to all those who say that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it we find? Christendom have nullified the commandments of Christ. They have allowed themselves to do that which Paul warned them against. They have been molded into this world's press. Just as we read in the Apostles' letter to the Romans that they should not do. The Christendom at large involves themselves with the affairs of this world. It is plain for us to see, is it not, that Christendom involves themselves with the things of this life. Take, for example, the politics of the world. The politician of this world becomes a politician because he or she desires to make this world a better place to live in. To make this world a better place to live in. And no doubt there are many sincere politicians. I've worked with many a man who went into politics who was sincere. He wouldn't believe the word of God, but he was sincere. He wanted to make his place where he lived a better place for his friends and so forth. And they fight for the rights of their fellow man. They go to prison, some of them, for what they feel is right for their fellow man. But the life of the believer in God is said to be one of a pilgrim, one that is just passing through. This is not the true dwelling place of the believer in Christ. The true believer looks for the kingdom of God that is to come upon the earth. This is what the true believer believes and looks forward to. Turn with me to the first epistle to Peter and chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, says the apostle Peter, girded the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and from your vain conversation or manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, call on the Father without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear of God. The believer in Christ is to look for the kingdom to come, when God shall send the Lord Jesus Christ to establish it upon the earth. The Lord's Prayer tells us, does it not? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We are sojourners in this earth. We look for that kingdom which is to come. Yet when we consider the religious people around us today, we have reverends, we have bishops, etc., of the churches of the world, members of parliament, sitting in the government of the country, where the very place where the laws of the land are made and debated upon. Laws which Christians should have nothing at all to do with. And we might add that though they are there, speaking on behalf of the mankind, the cry against wickedness and the neglect of God's laws are not mentioned among them. The law legalizing homosexuality was passed without a cry of shame from those clergies in those governments. In all out of parliament, we might say. The morning assemblies in the schools of the land, that the children might start the day and learn of God and learn to worship Him for what He has done for mankind, are done away with. Are done away with by these very people in government who now cater for all faiths and not from the God of heaven, the creator and sustainer of this earth. Placing the great creator and sustainer of this vast empire on par with other gods, even gods of wood and stone, and not a cry of shame from any of the churches. We have too in the churches of Christendom the ordination of women, women priests, even though the Bible is explicit regarding women's position in the church. The apostolic injunction upon women within the congregation of Christ is that she must not usurp the authority over the man, but to be in silence in the churches. Let your women keep silence in the churches, says the Apostle Paul, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. As also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. In like manner also women shall adorn themselves in modest apparel with restraint and sober-mindedness, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but as becoming women, professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to exert authority over the man, but in be in silence. These are not our words. These are not our words that we've made up. These are the very words of the Apostle Paul. These are words of the Apostle Paul who received the things of the Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they are usurped in the world today in Christendom. We might ask, what is to be done by the man who wishes to be found acceptable at Christ's judgment seat at his return, that he might have a place in that glorious kingdom that is promised? We can do no better than to refer the inquirer to the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It is so clear, is it not? It is so clear what the Apostle Paul tells us, is it not? We have no part with this world whatever. We are sojourners. We are on our way to the kingdom. We cannot have it both. We cannot have this world and God. This does not mean in any way living in seclusion, as many live in monasteries, etc., doing it to their own folly, but abstaining from the aims and principles of this world, being guided by the things recorded in the Word of God, which have been preserved for our learning and our edification, right down to the age in which you and I live. Though many have tried to destroy the Bible so that they might preach their own traditions, those who in sincerity and truth render the things that are Caesar's to Caesar, and those who give unto God those things that are his, and who pay their taxes, obey the laws of the land where they come in, except where they come into conflict with the commandments of Christ. These are those that are pleasing unto God. These are they that are pleasing unto God. The disciples of the Lord Jesus do not involve themselves with the politics of this world, nor do they take up arms to fight for the aims of those of this present age, because his or her desire is to be in the kingdom of the coming age, when the laws and the aims of man will all be to the glory of God. Turn to Daniel chapter 27. Prophet Daniel chapter 27. In the 11th chapter of Daniel. The 7th chapter of Daniel. And verse 27. And the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter, says Daniel. But here we have it. The judgment shall set, and they that take away his dominion, to consume it and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints, those that are separate themselves unto God, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we resist not evil. We resist not evil. But Christendom resists evil. Christendom will show at the law. Christendom fights for this world's goods. The Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right hand, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn thou not away. That is not a principle of the world in which we live today. They sow at the courts, they sow for whatever they think is their right. Man will say, society could never live if principles that we have been speaking upon have acted upon. Society could not be carried on, they will tell you, as I have been told while I was working. Society can't carry on like that. It's impossible. The answer to that is, God is not aiming to carry on society on its present foot. He's not aiming to carry on society on his present footing. For the kingdoms of this world are to become, as we have seen, and that very soon, the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. God is even now taking out of the nations a people for his name. Those that are obedient to his word. Just as the mist rises out of the sea and is purified and come down as clouds which descend to water the earth so that the plants will grow. So God is calling out of the nations those who are purified by his word, are drawn up symbolically as clouds of witnesses to his word with Christ, and will in the ages to come, when Christ shall rule the earth, descend as it were as a refreshing rain after the judgments of God upon the earth, descend as it were as a refreshing rain upon the nations, proclaiming the gospel of peace, assisting as it were the Lord Jesus Christ to fill this earth with righteousness and peace. The armies of this world have chaplains. The churches employ chaplains which go with the army to pray for victory. They pray for the victory of the army when they go to the war. We find that the enemy does so too. And so their ministers and vicars, and call them what you like, they too are padres which go to their army and pray for victory. So we have Christian, fighting Christian, each fighting for supremacy, one against the other. God is not the author of confusion. This is the traditions of men. The God of heaven and earth says to those who have ears to hear, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It is not for us to take arms, to have our own back or our own way. It is God who has said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. We have to trust in God that he will do that which is right. The lessons the Lord Jesus taught by his commandments is that man should remember at all times that God is the creator and sustainer of all life, and he will be worshipped in the way that he has decreed. Whether we might think it would work or not, he will be worshipped in the way that he himself has decreed. To be found acceptable in the sight of God, to receive the reward of eternal life and a part of the place in the kingdom, to be set up at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must do as God wills. We must walk in the way that he would have us walk, and as he has shown us in his word, the Bible. Popular theory has reduced the commandments of Christ to a practical nullity. Gibbon in his days spoke of the time when men and women believed in the coming kingdom of God. But churches are needed so that it is no more a fable. They have taken it to be no more than the fable. But God has promised that kingdom will come, and come it will. We must do God's will on purpose. Christendom has totally obscured the principle of baptism. Baptism is a rite for an enlightened person, one who believes the gospel and the saving name of Jesus. Let's turn to the Romans, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and chapter 6 to prove what we're saying is perfectly true. Chapter 6, and what do we read there? What shall we say then, says the Apostle Paul, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know we not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we believe, and now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Yet the popular theory has reduced the commandments of Christ, as we have said, to a nullity. We see it has totally obscured the principle of baptism, a rite which calls for an enlightened person, one who believes the gospel and the saving name of Jesus, to be symbolically buried in water, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb. And that he might, as the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, that he might rise from that water, as his master did from the grave, to a new life in Christ. But what have Christendom done? They have substituted it to one of sprinkling a few drops of water upon the head of the babe. One who was unable even to know what is being enacted, let alone believe the gospel. They are indeed reduced to it, to a nullity. One of the greatest warnings that we can have regarding the doing the will of God is found in the history of his people Israel. As we have seen, God called them out of Egypt to be a peculiar, a holy, a separate people unto himself, a people who would walk in his ways and who would praise and honour him, to whom he would bless above all peoples upon the earth. But as we know and as we have seen, Israel failed to do so and were punished. They began to worship other gods of wood and stone. They began to walk in the precepts or traditions of men. And so God brought his judgment upon them, and he cursed them above all the nations of the earth, as he said he would, and has been. The Jew has ever since been seen as the wandering Jew, persecuted wherever he went. God will not be mocked. And though he has not cut them off forever, as some in Christendom believe, when the Lord Jesus returns and saves them from the nations who have openly said they wish to annihilate them, when they cry unto God, they shall say, Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. To be found acceptable unto Christ at his judgment seat then, we need to read the scriptures. We need to read the scriptures with an inquiring mind. It is so very important, is it not? We need to compare the word with the teaching of Christendom. For it is by our walk we will either be found acceptable or rejected. He that doeth the will of my Father, said the Lord Jesus, abideth forever. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 26, we read, He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The traditions of men will not do. The traditions and the principles of men will not do. He that overcometh and keepeth my words, says the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. In view of this then, is it not of paramount importance that the believer remain true to the words of the Lord Jesus and do not under any circumstances be led into the path of disobedience by glosses upon his word, which one might make the way easier in life, but will have the effect of depriving you and I of that crown of life in the day of glory soon to be revealed upon the earth. May we indeed consider that word of truth, the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we walk in them, for only in that way will be found accepted when the Lord returns.